It's time for Dishing Up Nutrition with licensed nutritionist Darlene Kvist. Each week, Darlene explains the connection between what you eat and how you feel. Stay tuned to hear practical, real-life solutions for healthier living through good nutrition. Dishing Up Nutrition is brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones. Looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. Today, I thank you all for tuning in, and I hope you are enjoying the weather, but still listening to the show. And Dar is not here today. She is not taking the day fully off. I know she's at the office working, so I'm here with you today. I'm Christina Swigert, licensed nutritionist. And just before we get started, I want to make a quick announcement to everybody, just so you know this. As of March 7th, we're going to be having a little switch in our radio time. The station is actually moving us to 8 o'clock in the morning starting on March 7th, so we just want all of you to be aware of that. And I can hardly believe that it's February and Valentine's Day is just next week. Seems like time just continues to move quickly. And, you know, like many other holidays, our culture has made sweets and candy a very big part of this holiday. I'm sure my daughter will come home with a few things on Wednesday from her Valentine party. So in an effort to help you make some healthy choices in the upcoming week, we decided to give you some healthy ideas on sweets for your sweethearts today. Some things to be on the lookout for, some things to avoid, things that you can do on your own and still enjoy this time. So with me today to talk about this topic is Kara Carper. And Kara has her master's in holistic health, and she's one of our nutrition counselors, and she teaches a lot of classes. And she sees clients at our St. Paul office and our Wayzata office. So, and I know she's been doing a great job. So, Kara, welcome to the show. It's fun to be on. We realize this is just our second time doing a show together.
Right, in about a year.
Yeah.
So, thanks, Christina. It is great to be here today. And I always like Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
I love celebrating. It's such a fun holiday. So, we want everyone to have some tips on how to make good, healthy choices and still have fun and be able to have desserts and treats that you can enjoy with your loved ones. But before we jump into some of the good ideas, we do want to touch on some things to be watching for that we want to be avoiding.
And you know, when I think of Valentine food, usually the first thing that comes to mind, at least things that we could see in the store, is of course chocolate, which I have to admit I do enjoy dark chocolate. But then also the candy hearts are usually everywhere. I think I remember when I was in college and dating my now husband, I made, for Valentine's one day, made him a card and used the candy hearts as part of the message on the card. And it was fun. I'm sure he ate them. Well, yeah, because I don't think there's glue on them. So, and while, you know, a little bit of dark chocolate sometimes can be fine, a lot of the other candy that's around there or overeating the chocolate, you know, eating a lot of the candy hearts, the mini candy bars that are out there. You know, it's always the same thing, just a different wrapping, different colors. You know, these things come home with kids, or you may buy a bag of them, or for some people, it's really difficult to not overeat them because they're all around the office. And really, it's best to leave these things alone, if you, a lot of those processed things.
And if you take a look at the ingredients in some of the treats that Christina was talking about, you'll see that they have corn syrup, you know, regular or high fructose corn syrup, sugar in many different forms, and many of them also have hydrogenated oils, which are trans fats, and we definitely want to stay away from all trans fats.
Right, and those tend to pop up in those candy bars. And, you know, these types of things are going to be creating a lot of inflammation in your body, so, and some of you might feel that as aches and pains. Other people might not really feel it. It might be inflaming your heart or your blood vessels. They also will get stored as fat pretty easily and can be difficult to get rid of, but they also can be very addicting. And I know Kara and I were talking about this before, how we see this as a problem for a lot of people.
That is so true. I see a lot of clients or people in my classes who get off track. You know, somebody's on track with their eating and they are doing really well, and then they start having just a few treats, maybe in the office, just here and there. Before they know it, the few candy hearts or a fun-sized candy bars have turned into multiple candy bars, multiple hearts, and then it's really hard to stop.
It is. And for some people, it can take, you know, a month or two to really kind of get some of those cravings under control where they're not thinking about it, not maybe running to the store at night to get some. And for some people, that might sound crazy, that how could you run out, you know, without needing to go to the store just to get candy. But a lot of people out there, you probably can really relate to this. And for a lot of people, it takes time to overcome these cravings, and it takes being very intentional to really get your biochemistry back on balance. And a key thing that you really have to be on the lookout for that Kara mentioned is the high fructose corn syrup, the corn syrup, because that is probably the most addicting of them all. And Kara, maybe you can explain why the high fructose corn syrup is such a problem for people.
Sure. A big problem with high fructose corn syrup is that it is metabolized differently even than regular sugar. The brain does not recognize it like it does with regular sugar. So when you eat something with high fructose corn syrup in it, you're actually overriding your body's natural ability to feel full and satisfied.
Right. And one of the reasons why your brain doesn't recognize it is because it doesn't have the same effect on your blood sugar and insulin levels. So it's not starting the whole progression of hormones that send messages to your brain. So when your brain's not getting the message that you're full or satisfied, what happens to you? And I'm sure most of you, it doesn't take too long for you to think about it. You end up eating more and are much more likely then to just continue eating to the point that you've overeaten and feel awful. And then what happens is you gain weight.
There's no shut-off valve.
Right, exactly. And when we eat more real whole foods and get them in balance so we're not sending up the blood sugar so much, getting the good healthy fats, the good healthy protein, we actually do send a hormone to our brain that tells us that we're full and satisfied. So it tells us to shut off then.
Right, and I mean, insulin plays a lot into that as well, and the high fructose form of sugar does not need insulin to be able to be stored as fat.
Mm-hmm.
So it can go, you know, we consume the food, it goes right to the liver to be metabolized and then to the fat cells. That can increase cholesterol, particularly triglycerides for
mm-hmm.
people.
Right.
And again, we're not getting that signal to our brain that we're satisfied.
Right. And usually once we start, we want more. And something that I wanted to bring up as a side note, since we're talking about sweets and corn syrup and processed foods that tend to come in around the holiday season, is just a couple studies that have just come out in the news over the last week and a half. And maybe some of you have seen them, maybe you haven't. But what some of these studies are showing is that some of the corn syrup in our foods actually contain mercury in them, which is kind of a scary thing.
Yeah, when you told me about this study, I couldn't believe it. It's the current issue of environmental health had a study that found detectable levels of mercury in 9 out of 20 samples of commercially used high fructose corn syrup. And another study was done by the Institute for Agriculture and Trade Policy, and that found that almost 1 in 3 out of 55 different brand name foods contained mercury in the corn syrup.
Right, and this was, I mean, most people know that mercury is a pretty dangerous thing to be having in our bodies, and it appears that there does need to be a little bit more digging into these issues. You know, some of the data is a couple years old, because it usually takes time to put together the research and publish it. And the second study that looked at the processed foods, they did just look at foods with corn syrup and not processed foods that didn't have corn syrup in them. But still, it's something that we need to be paying attention to, because it's showing up in these foods. And, you know, mercury is very detrimental to the brain, especially children. It's very bad. And really, there's no safe level. And, you know, be on the lookout in the next, you know, 4 to 6 months probably, when there might be some more studies coming out talking about this.
And this gives, it's just one more reason to try to avoid processed foods as much as possible. You know, you think maybe desserts are safe, but processed desserts can have things like mercury. And there's no safe level of something like mercury or trans fats or many of the other chemicals, additives, and preservatives that are in those kinds of foods. So we always tell people, go to the grocery store and stay on the perimeter. And that's one reason why.
Right.
Is because you are avoiding so many of those chemicals, and some of them you can't even identify.
No, you can't.
On the labels.
And because they can just say natural or artificial flavorings if they don't put over a certain amount.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you think about it, you have a little bit of it over here, and then maybe a little bit over there, and then you have it in something else, and pretty soon that little bit is turning into a lot. Same with hydrogenated oils. And it doesn't take much to really throw things off in our body. And what's kind of disturbing to me is that the source of the mercury in these foods comes from some of the things that they use to process. Well, the mercury that they found in the high fructose corn syrup was from the hydrochloric acid and something called caustic soda that was used to process the corn syrup. And some of the companies did say that they're starting to use mercury-free sources, but it did come out in these studies that not all of the plants that process corn-free syrup have made the switch to mercury-free sources of these things that they use to process it with.
You know, mercury-free or not, I think I would rather just have a piece of fruit or something else over right. a food that has caustic soda. That just doesn't sound good.
Right, right. And, you know, sometimes even the processed things in health food stores, sometimes you don't always know there what they're using either. So, again, just our encouragement is to try and have as much real whole foods as possible. And there's usually a few things you have to get in the middle of the aisle. But even with those things, you know, like we say with olive oil, make sure it's extra virgin, cold pressed, you know, instead of something mm-hmm. that's more processed. So if you decide to buy any sweet treats for your Valentine, make sure you're really avoiding the corn syrup. And, you know, if it's going to have some sugar, stick with the real thing. And I think we need to take a break here in about a minute. So let me tell you about a class, and then we're going to come back and talk about some natural sweetener alternatives to look for and things that you can use if you are baking at home. So you're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness, a company specializing in life-changing nutrition education. You know, a great opportunity to increase your knowledge about nutrition is coming up this week. This coming Thursday, February 12th, Wendy is actually going to be teaching Foods to Build Happy, Focused Kids in Hudson from 7 to 9 p.m. So if you're a parent, a grandparent, a teacher, daycare worker, or someone who just really cares about kids and feeding them well, it's a great class. And you're going to come away knowing what foods cause focus and behavior problems, what foods to include in a child's diet that's going to help improve their focus and behavior, improve their sleeping, reduce their cravings. It's just a great class. So for more information on that class, visit our website, www.weightandwellness.com, or you can call our St. Paul office today at 651-699-3438 for more information on how to register. And if you have questions for us today, please feel free to give us a call in the studio, and the number here is 651-641-1071, and we'll be back in a minute.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Kara Carper, nutrition counselor and educator, and I'm here today with Christina Swigart, licensed nutritionist. And today we're talking about healthy sweets for your sweethearts, and also sweets that are good and sweets that you want to avoid. If you have questions about this topic today, please give us a call, 651-641-1071. An area of sweets that people often get into trouble with are beverages. And sometimes these problematic beverages even have the appearance of being like a healthy, something healthy. The average person picking up a bottle of vitamin water, for example, would think that this is simply a healthy flavored water, which is good for you because it's got added vitamins and minerals. Sounds like a good thing, right? But in reality, a bottle of vitamin water contains 33 grams of sugar, including crystalline fructose. So the, you know, consumers believe that they're doing themselves and their family a favor by buying vitamin water over soda. But in reality, there's really not that much difference. You know, vitamin water has over 7 teaspoons of sugar in it. If you take that 33 grams and calculate it, 7 teaspoons.
Right. And some of you might be wondering, well, what is crystalline fructose? Well, according to the Sugar Association, and this is a quote, crystalline fructose is produced by allowing the fructose to crystallize from a fructose-enriched corn syrup. And as we mentioned before, corn syrup can cause overeating, fat storage, and high triglycerides. So, you know, let this serve as a reminder, again, as to the importance of reading labels. If you are opting to buy any processed food, make sure to flip it over and read the ingredients. Don't just check how many grams of fat or calories, but read the ingredients for yourself, and regardless of how healthy it really appears to be.
Yep, drinking any flavored sweetened beverage is not going to push your health in a positive direction, whether or not it has a few extra vitamins and minerals. A better choice would be to drink regular water, maybe with lemon or lime mm-hmm. in it, And the, get your vitamins the way that they were designed to be obtained, which is through real food.
That's right. And it looks like we've got a caller on the line, so before we get into a few other things, why don't we go ahead and talk to Amy. Hi, Amy. Thanks for calling.
Hi.
What was your question today?
I get lightheadedness.
Okay.
And I've noticed that the connection seems to be with processed carbohydrates.
Sure.
High fructose corn syrup is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And but even white flour, pizza, you know, things like that that are has white flour in it. And I've had lots of tests done, and they haven't been able to figure out what it is. And I'm wondering if there's something that could be physically what's happening with those processed carbohydrates.
Sure. Well, what happens with processed carbohydrates is that when you eat them, they turn to sugar pretty quickly, so they raise your blood sugar up. And then once all the insulin kicks in, your blood sugar crashes. So, and your brain needs a steady supply of glucose.
Okay.
It can't just manufacture glucose on its own. So when you have that spike, which for some people can even be a little overstimulating to the brain.
Okay.
But then when it crashes, and it can happen pretty quickly, and
yeah,
you might
it can
have
happen really fast. I mean, like
yeah.
almost immediately.
Okay. So you might kind of get almost like a little sugar buzz from it, you
yeah,
know?
And it's almost like it can't think.
Yeah. So foggy, you think, I call that a foggy
yep.
brain. It's like
yep.
too much for your brain to handle all at once. So that's kind of your reaction there. And then sometimes what continues to happen, you know, not much later, is then once all the sugar leaves your brain, it's like your brain is in stress or anxiety because all of a sudden the fuel is dropped pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So you probably seem to have a reaction just from the overstimulation, but then maybe if it continues, it's probably the drop. So that's a key reason it's really important to make sure you keep the processed carbs out, focus mostly on fruits and vegetables. But then for people who are real sensitive like that, really need to make sure they're getting adequate protein and especially adequate fat with their carbs, because what happens then, the fat slows down how quickly those carbohydrates are released into your bloodstream.
Okay, so what's the best way to get that kind of fat?
Through olive oil and olives and nuts. Avocado is a great way, using real butter, you know, a little bit of cream,
yep.
real, preferably organic cream or butter, would all be things. So every time you're eating, you're making sure you're getting some kind of one of those fats.
Okay, because I've actually been testing my blood sugar.
Mm-hmm.
My blood sugar has been normal.
Okay.
Does that, I mean, could this still be what's happening even if my blood sugar is coming up as normal?
Right. Yeah, sure. I mean, you're metabolizing it, but your body's just probably really sensitive to it anyways. And if balancing your blood sugar is not enough, then you might want to look at, you know, sometimes even food sensitivities can cause those same types of reactions. So, but sometimes most people, if they balance their blood sugar, those types of things go away. I hear that a lot. People come back from their first visit, you know, for their second follow-up, and they're like, I don't have that foggy thinking or foggy brain that I used to have, and it's because their blood sugar is balanced. So, and that can still be within the normal realm. So obviously your cells aren't yet insulin resistant, but it's still a little too much for your body to deal with at once.
And do you have to worry about eating too much protein?
It's usually difficult for women to eat too much.
Okay.
So if you listened last week, I mean, we were talking about, you know, up to even 30 grams at least at two meals a day, you know, and then some in between as well. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, usually about 4 ounces at every meal, and an ounce or two at snacks is good for most women.
All right.
All right.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Great question.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, well, let's just jump back in, and we were going to talk about some more natural ways to sweeten, or think more natural sweeteners to look for on labels or to use if you are going to bake your own Valentine treats.
Yeah, let's talk about, you know, some ways that you would see natural sweeteners on labels. They appear differently and in different forms. There are things like dehydrated or evaporated cane juice or cane sugar. There's sucanat, agave, stevia, brown rice syrup, or maybe maple syrup. So you still need to watch the amounts of these things. They still are going to raise your blood sugar, with the exception of stevia, which does not. And all of these things are more natural than refined sugar, and they don't have the same effect on your body. You know, definitely not as much as the corn syrup
right.
or high fructose corn syrup.
Sure. And now someone like the last caller might still need to be a little careful with some of these forms of sweeteners as well. Other, you know, like the brown rice syrup or maple syrup or things like that, she may still react to things like that. So, and there are also sweeteners which can be used in baking, which I would highly recommend baking your own Valentine treats. overbuying them. And, you know, when you make them yourself, you're going to know exactly what's going into them. You can make adjustments to be sure you are using all real ingredients, like instead of, you know, using margarine, make sure you're using real butter. And I actually melt butter if it calls for vegetable oil. I think it tastes better and it's a little bit more natural. And plus, you're putting love into it all, which is what Valentine's Day is all about. And I know I certainly enjoy being able to see the people I care about enjoy something that I lovingly made for them.
So if you are going to make something yourself and you want to try a more natural way to sweeten your dessert, there are a couple of tips that you're going to want to know about. Two options that can be substituted equally, you know, 1-to-1 ratio, if you're not using sugar, would be dehydrated cane juice crystals, and that's also sucanat, and date sugar. And date sugar has fiber and minerals. So a lot of these more natural sweeteners, you know, they're not as refined, and they're going to contain original vitamins and minerals. They have not been stripped of everything.
Right. Oftentimes people opt for a liquid form and something called vegetable glycerin, and we need to take a break. So when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the liquid things and how you want to alter your recipes, because sometimes you need to make some changes. So you're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness. Are you looking for answers for good health and energy? Would you like to learn how good nutrition can help you and your family and know specifically what to eat? Well, you can find that out by signing up for our popular 6-week weight and wellness series. And we have a lot of options, day and evening, beginning the week of February 23rd. And we have 12 locations throughout the Twin Cities. So Burnsville, Cambridge, Chanhassen, Edina, Woodbury, Ham Lake, Maple Grove, Stillwater, Shoreview, St. Paul, Wayzata, and White Bear Lake. So to find more about those locations and when and where, go to our website, weightandwellness.com, or call 651-699-3438 today even. And if you have questions for us at the studio, give us a call, 651-641-1071.
Making my way downtown, walking fast, faces pass and I'm homebound. There I'm blankly ahead, making my way, making my way.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Cara Carver, nutrition counselor and educator, here with Christina Swigert, who's a licensed nutritionist. We all know that the economy is taking a toll on people and causing lots of stress. Cardiologists are even seeing more people coming in with racing hearts and anxiety due to the stress. And you know, the economy is something we cannot control, but we can control what we put in our mouths. Did you know that imbalanced blood sugar is going to lead to increased anxiety and panic, sometimes even panic attacks?
Right.
So this is another important reason to put yourself at, you know, at a high, put your health at a high priority and feed yourself good food, because this is what you have control over. Eating real protein, healthy carbohydrates, good fats, and avoiding processed foods and high carbohydrate foods that will lead to fluctuating blood sugars, which lead to more anxiety.
Right. I think it's a great thing for us all to remember. Mm-hmm. And I know we see it a lot, people who have more struggles with anxiety and panic, and when they can, you know, get themselves on a more balanced diet, it really does make a big difference for them. So, well, when we left, we were talking about natural sweeteners and sugars that you can use to make your homemade Valentine treats. And one that I mentioned right before we went to break is called vegetable glycerin. And this is maybe something that you may not have heard of before. It is a liquid form of a natural sweetener, and it does not affect blood sugar at all. And sometimes it is a little bit more difficult to find, but we do carry it at our stores, and sometimes you can find it in the co-ops. Cara, how sometimes do people use that, and maybe you can tell people how it's made?
Well, it's derived from coconuts, and, you know, it used to be a more of a popular natural sweetener in the 40s. It was used for diabetics.
Right.
But, you know, our coworker Wendy, I know she bakes with it.
Sure.
And she says that she uses a ratio of, if you're going to use a cup of sugar normally, you'd use a half cup of vegetable glycerin.
Right. So a lot of times some of these things are sweeter even than sugar, but yet mm-hmm. they're not affecting your blood sugar. Some other more liquid sweeteners that will affect your blood sugar some is agave syrup, although that has a very low effect on blood sugar, and it's very sweet. Brown rice syrup, molasses, or even pure maple syrup can sometimes be used. You know, the agave syrup, it's a newer thing out there. It is a nectar from a plant, and it is a pretty good option because it is really low on the glycemic index, and it's pretty sweet. You don't need a whole lot, so if you're trading that out for real sugar in a recipe, you can use 20 to 30% less than the amount of sugar the recipe calls for. And I know I have used that, or I've even used it in place of honey and maple syrup mm-hmm. in some recipes too, because it affects blood sugar less than those things. And if you are using a liquid sweetener instead of sugar, remember to reduce the liquid in the recipe a little bit when you use the liquid sweetener so it's not too runny and things still can stick together. And it looks like we've got a caller on the line with a question about stevia, which is a great question. We'll talk about it, but let's talk about it now. Hi, Sharon. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I was wondering if you've ever come across products on the market, especially beverages that have stevia in it. We've gone from drinking Coke to Diet Coke to Diet Snapple to I make my own teas now and put stevia in it. And I'm just wondering if there's something on the market you could just, you know, grab when you're out and purchase?
That's a really good question. I was just looking into this, and I'm not 100% sure on what is out there today, but I do know that the FDA has approved stevia in different forms, and they're going to be used by Coke and Pepsi.
Wow.
And I'm just
matter of time.
I'm not sure if that's already happened. Maybe some of our listeners could let us know.
I think that the Truvia that I know you looked up, I think, is out there.
The Truvia. So Coke and Pepsi will be using that, as well as Odwalla, which is a beverage that's found at a lot of natural food stores. They currently do have a product with stevia in it.
Yeah, I'd rather not go back to the Coke product.
Yeah,
exactly. I'm not recommending that people go run out and buy the Coke and Pepsi, but
for people,
just kind of an FYI.
Right.
Yep. Sobe, if they're not using it already, they will be.
Okay.
And those are just a couple that I've heard of on the radar.
And I know, Cara, you like to use the stevia drops, and don't you sometimes carry that with you and put that in tea if you're at a restaurant?
Or I do, yes. Sweet Leaf is
that's
the
what
brand.
We do too. Yeah. We travel with the packets or we have the drops at home.
That's wonderful. It's a great idea.
And you could, even if you bought, you know, a bottle of water, sometimes you can put it in there too if you want a little bit more flavor to it. And I think one thing that we found about that Truvia is that it is stevia, but then there's also like a sugar alcohol added, and then it says natural flavorings. So, you know, again, I think it's going to be better off to probably just use straight stevia. But I guess sometimes if people absolutely need to have something, that Truvia is still better, but it still probably has some additives in it that just pure stevia doesn't. Mm. So.
Well, great show. I like that
you
always have timely shows with the holidays.
So oh, well, thank
you.
Thank you,
help us
thank
get
you
through
for
it.
Calling.
Great. Great question.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye now.
Hi. All right. We need to take another break. All right. Well, you are listening to Dressing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness. And do you know do you know that at any age is a good age to be concerned about bone health? We don't want to wait till we are diagnosed with osteoporosis. And real food really provides the foundation for healthy bones. So we actually have a class coming up that will help you know which real foods to use, discover how soda and processed foods weaken your bones, and will help you learn the importance of vitamin D and the best form of calcium for absorption. So to learn more, sign up for the Nutritional Solutions for Osteoporosis, which we are teaching the evening of Monday, February 16th at our White Bear Lake office. So you can call the White Bear office on Monday between 9 and 6 to register, 651-773-0000, you can call the St. Paul office if you want to talk about more information for that today at 651-699-3438. So you are listening to Dishing Up Nutrition. We'll be back in a minute.
Up Nutrition. I'm Cara Carper here with Christina Swigert, and today we're giving you tips on how to make healthy choices for Valentine's Day. You always hear us talk about our signature 6-week weight and wellness series, and maybe you would really like to take this class, but are unable to commit for 6 weeks due to busyness or travel. Well, now we have an option for you. At the end of February, we are going to be offering what we're calling the Fast Track Weight and Wellness. We'll be doing all 6 classes in 2 days, so it's a great opportunity. It's going to be Saturday, February 21st from 12:30 to 6 p.m., and Sunday, February 22nd from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. This will be held at our Wyzetta office. So if you want information today, call our St. Paul office, 651-699-3438, for more information. Or if you wait until Monday, you can call the Wyzetta office at 952-345-0766 to get registered.
All right. Well, why don't we go ahead and take the next caller that we've got on the line here. We've got Mary Jo. Hi, Mary Jo. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
What was your question for us today?
Have you ever tried, and I'm not trying to promote her product, but Suzanne Summers has a product called Summer Sweet.
I haven't seen that.
She normally just sells it either through her website or through HSN. And she's been selling it for years, and I've been using it for quite a long time.
Okay. Do you know what's in it?
In it is, see if I'm going to spell it because I don't know how to
say sure.
It's O-L-I-G-O, fructose, inulin, and sprouted mung bean extract. And they're not supposed to raise your blood sugar because she's very big into the whole thing also.
Yeah. I guess I can't say I'm real familiar with that product.
Okay.
I mean, if you want me to look into it more, or somebody at our office, you could always feel free to email it to us.
Okay.
And
I
then we
do that. And then another quick question is, what is chicory root? All of a sudden, I'm seeing that in a lot of products.
Like as a sweetener?
Yeah.
It's another plant-based sweetener.
Is it something that's okay for us to have?
I think it's fine. I guess it always depends on how it's processed.
Okay.
And we actually have a whole list of sweeteners with us today, and I don't think that one's on the list. But I know I have seen that.
Okay.
So, again, and I suppose you could probably look it up. I think that one's probably going to be better than corn syrup, definitely.
Yeah, so, that's what I would assume also.
And just still always being careful as how much of that kind of stuff. And even the more natural sweeteners, too, it's like we don't want to do a ton of them, at least the ones that go through some processing because...
Right.
You know, it's still processed food.
Right.
But
I just found the vegetable glycerin, and I'm very happy with it.
Oh, good. Yeah, that's a great one. So.
Yeah.
Great. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
All right. So let's talk a little bit more about some things to use when baking, and I brought a couple good ideas for Valentine treats with today, too. So I know one thing that people opt to use often is as a sugar alternative is honey. And one thing to think about with honey is that it does have fructose in it. So again, just being careful, it's not good for your teeth. It, you know, like corn syrup, high fructose corn syrup, it does have some fructose. Now it's definitely better than sugar, but I mean high fructose corn syrup. But I still think some of the other things are better options. Like the stevia or vegetable glycerin, even the agave, things like that. And one too that oftentimes people will see is xylitol and Cara. Maybe you can tell people a little bit about the xylitol.
Sure. Most xylitol comes from birch bark, and you might see xylitol as an ingredient in gum, and it's often talked about and promoted because it's good for dental health as well. And it's a natural sweetener. It does not affect blood sugar the same way that regular sugar does. And as far as using it in baking, you would need to follow the instructions on the package. But if you are someone with a sensitive digestive system, just be aware this might not be a good sweetener for you because sugar alcohol, it is a sugar alcohol, and that can sometimes cause gas, bloating, diarrhea. Not all the time, but just be aware of that.
Yeah, some people do experience that. So, and we have talked about stevia, but again, just so you know, that often is a great thing. And stevia and vegetable glycerin would be ones that I would recommend for someone who is diabetic or pre-diabetic. Maybe even somebody who has more hypoglycemia as well, because those two natural sweeteners are very naturally created, just vegetable glycerin from coconut, stevia from the stevia plant, and they don't affect the blood sugar so much. But one thing you need to know about stevia is it's very sweet. So you need to start with a small amount. Don't put the same amount as it calls for sugar, because it's going to be too sweet, or actually sometimes it can get bitter if you do too much of it. And Cara, you've got a couple websites actually that people can go to for conversions for stevia.
Yeah, actually I found a great website. It's pretty easy to remember, stevia.com. And I'll let the listeners know just an example of one conversion. So in place of a cup of sugar, you would only need, if you had the liquid stevia, you would only need 2.5 teaspoons of that liquid. So that's how sweet it is.
Right.
But you can actually get a full conversion chart on stevia.com. And there are different kinds of stevia out there, so just be aware of that as well. There's the liquid and the powder.
Mm-hmm. So, and some of them are very portable, too. You can buy the powder in little packets. So like one of the callers said, is she always travels with some of the packets. And some of them even have a little bit of fiber added to them. Or I know, Cara, what are some of the ways you use the drops for to sweeten things?
I use the drops when I make real whipping cream.
Okay.
Instead of putting sugar in, I use stevia and vanilla extract.
Great.
You know, sometimes if I'm having plain yogurt, a little bitter for me,
mm-hmm.
So I'll put a few drops of stevia and just stir it in.
Great. And making real whipped cream can definitely be mm-hmm. a great topping to a Valentine dessert. So when we come back after this last break, we're going to talk about, to close out the show, just a few fun ideas that you can make at home for a Valentine dessert for your loved ones. So, you know, if you have a friend or a family member who would want to hear this show, or if you want to listen to it again, go ahead and check out our website, and over the next week, the show hopefully will come up, and you can listen to the show along with many others. And again, our website is weightandwellness.com, and just click on the radio show link, and then there's a link for listening to a past show. And I think there's about 2 years' worth of shows on there, so just a great, valuable tool as a way to continue to educate yourself about nutrition. So we've got one more segment for some good desserts, and we'll be back in a minute.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. We were just laughing about the song.
Yeah.
We just want to thank all of you for listening today and hope that you learned some helpful hints for making healthier choices during this Valentine's season. If you're someone who really struggles with avoiding sweets, sugars, and or processed carbohydrates, please call our office, 651-699-3438. And you can either sign up for one of our wonderful classes or schedule a one-on-one appointment with one of our nutritionists.
Yeah, sometimes it's challenging, and it really is helpful to have somebody kind of help you along with that. Somebody called in asking if it was okay to cook with honey. And again, honey would not be my top recommendation for an alternative to straight sugar, just because it can affect blood sugar a little bit more. Now, what's better is raw honey versus pasteurized honey. There's a little bit more nutrients. Now, I'm not sure if cooking it would break some of that down, but they do say that sometimes baked goods do stay fresher longer when you use honey, and you can substitute it as a one-to-one ratio, but you do want to reduce your liquids by a quarter cup for each cup of honey that's used. So, but I would, like I said, I use the agave over honey or maple syrup when I bake.
Yeah, agave is really low on the glycemic index.
Right.
And how quickly something turns to sugar in your body. It's one of the lowest sweeteners.
Right. So that's great.
Yeah.
So we just want to share a couple ideas as far as some desserts to use for Valentine's Day. Cara's got a classic one to use with a little possible twist.
It's a good standby. Good old chocolate covered strawberries. Or maybe you use mangoes.
Yes.
Chocolate covered mangoes. And what about dipping either one of those in chopped nuts?
Yes.
And that sounds wonderful.
It'd be a great thing. I actually saw them use mango and dark chocolate as a dessert on Top Chef last mm-hmm. week. So, and one thing about mangoes, sometimes, I don't know, I bought one like a month ago and it wasn't very good. But sometimes you can find frozen chunks of mango too. And, you know, maybe you dip mm-hmm. it in the chocolate and throw them back in the freezer for a little bit. Another recipe I just wanted to share with you, which is kind of along the same lines, but something different, it would be a bittersweet cheese truffle. And what you do is you take 4 ounces of a French mimolette, an aged Jack, or white cheddar cheese, and you melt 3 ounces of bittersweet chocolate. And then you take the cheese and actually dip the cheese in the chocolate. And then this, too, you can have either chopped dried mango, dried apricot, or finely chopped pistachio nuts, and sprinkle that over the chocolate part of these desserts. And you can put a toothpick in them or put them in a little mini, like, paper cup or something like that. And that might be a fun, easy, because sometimes people want easy things, but still a good dessert to do. There's always just having dark chocolate, maybe with almonds. And a place that I often go, and I even looked before the show for some ideas, is WholeFoods.com actually has some great ideas and usually are using all real ingredients. And maybe some of those, they do have recipes that call for straight sugar. You could try some of the sugar alternatives that we talked about today. One thing that if you like panna cotta, they do have a buttermilk panna cotta just with berries over the top of it, which could be a nice, use raspberries, a nice Valentine thing. Or something, it's kind of a funny name, but a three-berry slump. And it's actually something you just do over the stove. It's got a mixture of different berries, and then you kind of make a little biscuit thing just to go over the top. If you're looking for gluten-free, maybe substitute in some other flours and put some real whipped cream. And, Cara, maybe mention again how you make your whipped cream.
Yeah, well, just, you know, heavy whipping cream. You just buy, you know, not Cool Whip. Buy the heavy whipping cream and just put some stevia in there as a sweetener, maybe some vanilla extract. It's just wonderful.
Right, and it tastes so much better. And two, you know, have fun with it, and even these little choices that you make can make a difference. And like somebody called and said, if she has a little bit of the corn syrup or things, it affects her. So whereas if you make a little healthier choice and put in some more natural sweeteners, is going to make it a lot better, and you maybe can enjoy the evening a little bit more. And one thing we just want to touch on, too, is, Cara, maybe you can say one or two of your favorite snacks to keep with you at the office so you're not going for the candy bars and candy hearts that might be all around this next week.
Sure. I mean, I think it's hard to not grab for that stuff anyway, but it's even more difficult if your blood sugar is low.
Mm-hmm.
So to avoid the low blood sugar, have snacks on hand, and that can be as simple as fruit and nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a cheese stick with that.
Right.
You can leave a tub of cottage cheese in your work refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't have to be difficult.
No, or leave a tub of yogurt.
Yogurt or hard-boiled eggs.
Yes, I love hard-boiled eggs. Or make an egg salad. Cut up the hard-boiled egg, mm-hmm. mix it with a tablespoon of real mayonnaise, and put it over a Wassa cracker,
mm-hmm.
and you've got a great snack. So one other recipe I wanted to mention before we're done that might be fun is there was some candied walnuts on the Whole Foods website, too, that had chocolate drizzled over them. And I would recommend, it does call for a cup of sugar, maybe cut that down and just put a natural sugar in there, and then it's got orange zest, and could be a real fun thing to even, you know, have a few of those at the office with some, you know, cottage cheese and some berries, and mm-hmm. that could be still a treat, but healthy. So have a great day and a great Valentine's Day next week, and remember that real food can, well, food can either be your problem or real food can be your solution. Have a great day.
Life, I love you, all is groovy. Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-